current star players of the NBA just suck. They're not good faces of the NBA.
I'm going straight to the top. Just put the second on the clock. I am Ray Allen's shot. I'm going straight to the top.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast, coming at you once again. As always, I appreciate you joining me. YouTube, Spotify, wherever you are watching, listening, I appreciate you. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and all that good stuff. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Thanks for spending a few minutes of your day with me, as always. Never take it for granted. I never do. Don't forget to check out the website, sportsonthereal.tv. Sportsonthereal.tv, where I have the latest episodes. I try to stay up to date on that. Some of my favorite clips recently, try to have that. I have my guests and experts, the resources section. All that stuff. If you're new to this podcast, you know, I talk a lot about sports, but I do also want to talk a lot, maybe even more, about real stuff that we're dealing with. Stuff that help us win off the court, win off the field, stuff that help us win in real life, making money and, you know, improving our mental health, our mindset, which is huge, right? It's becoming a huge space now, and it should have been a long time ago, as I'm learning, right? Stay with me. I know it's different. You know, it's probably not what you usually get from a sports podcast, but I promise you, it's going to be worth it. I've learned so much from the people that I've brought on, that, you know, it's like, yeah, we're sports fan, but we're humans. And as humans, we deal with different things in life that, you know, we can't just be, hey, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm a Patriots fan. Nah, you got to, you know, beyond that. I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. Steph Curry, LeBron, yeah, you know these guys. But what are you going to do, you know, after you turn off the TV? How do you deal with real life after you turn off the TV? And that's the point of my podcast, if you're new here. What do you do in real life? How do you win in real life after you turn off the TV, after the game is over, and LeBron and Steph and these guys go home to their families, and they're winning at life, right? What do you do? How do we win as well? So wanted to remind us of why I have so many podcasts that don't have nothing to do with sports. but today we're talking about sports. I'm riding solo. There's been a lot of talk in the NBA recently, or in the media recently, whether you're on social media, traditional media, ESPN, whatever, people talking about, well, NBA viewership is down. And, you know, people ain't watching as much as they used to. And Adam Silver is making excuses as to why NBA viewership is down, talking about the NFL and, you know, MLB postseason. And excuses, bro. I've been saying this for a while. And my podcast is only, I'm almost 2 years old into this thing. But I've been saying it from the beginning. The NBA just ain't what it used to be. And the numbers reflect that, right? You can say it's a chicken or the egg kind of thing, whatever. But the NBA just ain't what it used to be. And there's reasons for that. Nobody wants to really talk about it. Some of them people talk about, yeah, analytics and three-point shooting. But there's other reasons where I feel like maybe folks ain't are scared to talk about it. So if you're new here, I'm not scared to touch on sensitive topics. It is what it is, man. We got to have that conversation. So I made a list. I made a list of the eight reasons why NBA viewership is down. And I've talked about this, some of this in the past. I've provided recommendations, but clearly Adam Silver didn't listen to me. But there are some clear reasons why I think the NBA's viewership is down. So I have eight reasons here. There's probably more. Some people may have talked about, you might have heard some of this elsewhere. But I'm gonna get into them here. So eight reasons why NBA viewership is down and the product is just not what it used to be, not what us old heads remember it to be. All right? Some of it you just can't help. Some of it is the NBA's fault. All right? So let's start here. You guys know about this. The first reason is the focus on analytics. This talk of efficiency. Everything is efficient. You got to be efficient. Let's just play basketball, y'all. Everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's just jacking up threes, a lot of them. The Celtics are being the ringleader. And Celtics fans don't like when you say this, but it's not appealing basketball, all right? The Celtics don't play appealing basketball because you know what they're going to do? Somebody's going to get the ball at the top of the key. Jaylen Brown, Tatum, you know, somebody's going to get the ball at the top of the key. Peyton Pritchard, I don't know who it is. Drew Holiday, somebody's going to get the ball at the top of the key, set a pick. The other team's going to try to switch. Of course, the big man can't stay in front of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Automatic mismatch to the basket. Either you're going to get a layup, lob, or you're going to kick out to a three, pass. You're spraying the corner three. And nobody is telling you not to shoot threes. That's a mistake that, you know, the analytics folks think and these new fans think that old heads, well, if you don't like three-pointers, they're worth more than two. Duh. It's not that we don't like three-pointers. It's just that we don't like three-pointers all looking the same. It gets boring. The game gets boring. Every single team plays the same way just about. Outside of Denver, outside of OKC, a few other teams where, you know, they run different sets and plays and, you know, you get guys end up with mid-range shots. Or you're watching the Phoenix Suns and KD is doing KD things where he's okay operating in the mid-range and Booker's okay operating in the mid-range and Bradley Beal's okay operating in the mid-range. So these guys will take a head fake, step in, 1-2 dribble, pull up, bang. They don't mind that. So they may play a different style. But for the most part, the NBA is pick and roll, dribble, alley-hoop, pass, three-pointer, one or the other. And it gets boring. So we don't mind three-pointers. We don't mind a lot of three-pointers, really. When Steph Curry is going crazy and he's putting four-piece combos together, we don't mind that. And he puts in a 30-footer, we don't mind that. That's a show. We don't mind Klay Thompson 60 on 11 dribbles. People love three-pointers. Everybody loves that. Everybody loves Dame Little in Portland going bananas, having an out-of-body experience. What we don't love, what is boring, is watching freaking Al Horford go 4-for-10, and we call it a great night, which technically it is from an efficiency standpoint. Sorry, Al. We know it's a good night. Al goes 4-for-10, and he's spraying three balls, and you're like, damn, first of all, when did Al Horford develop such a J? Watching Brook Lopez shoot threes sucks. Yeah, he makes quite a few of them. He's totally different from when he was early in his career. But it's boring to watch when that's every day and every big man is out there shooting threes instead of, you know, battling down low and getting physical and yamming on the other guy and getting posterized and blocking shots. That's more appealing. So I apologize to Al Horford. I apologize to Miles Turner. Guys are really good players, but it's boring basketball when you're watching these guys shoot set three-pointers. It makes the fan feel like, well, I can do that. I can shoot open tray balls. The thing that's always been great about the NBA when growing up was these guys were doing things that we were like, man, I can't do that. There's a reason why they're getting paid a lot of money. And in reality, it's not like we can go out there and shoot tray balls at that clip. But it makes you feel like it because these guys are shooting wide open three-pointers. For the most part, pick and roll, mismatch, drive to the hoop. You're going to get a dunk, layup, alley-hoop, or spray, open three in a corner. P.J. Tucker style. Well, I can do that. Most fans will tell you, man, I could be P.J. Tucker. I can't play defense. But if you're going to give me an open tray ball in the corner, I'm going to make 3 of 10. You give me 10 threes, I'm going to make 3 of them. We're confident like that. Now, NBA players will be like, you wildin'. But that's what it is. So it's boring to watch. It's predictable as hell. You know, for the most part, you know exactly what's coming outside, like I said, outside of Denver and a few other teams, OKC. that run different sets, different things. Like, their offense is not solely based on Trey balls. Like, my guy, the Joker, and Jamal Murray, like, this is old school basketball, man. Get the ball in the paint, head and shoulder fake, pivot. Like, that's old school Kevin McHale. That stuff is lovely. His passes are ridiculous. Jamal Murray pulling up, that's basketball, man. Old school basketball. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Gilgeous-Alexander is amazing. His mid-range game is amazing. Like, that's basketball. We're not saying don't shoot threes. It just gets redundant and boring when it's the same thing. Watching Al Horford just stand there and wide open three-pointers because Jason Tatum had a mismatch. Like, I want to see Jason Tatum go finish those things and yam on somebody. Get fouled, bro. But it ain't happening. The rules change. No hand checking. So it's impossible to keep cats out of the paint. So, listen, I understand. I'm not an idiot. I understand that the rules favor that kind of play. The rules say and the numbers say, hey, get as many threes. Threes are worth more than twos. Duh. Like I said, we're not dumb. But it's ridiculous. So, yeah, people are going to tune out. Old heads, a lot of us, have tuned out. Now, admittedly, I've been watching, and it's been some pretty good basketball. Guys, you gotta find who to watch. You can't watch everybody. That's the thing. You can't watch – some teams will drive you nuts. All right? You can't watch everybody because they're going to run the same action over and over and over, and it's boring when dudes just end up, you know, shooting tray balls. You're like, damn. Like, go dunk the ball, Al Horford. Miles Turner, get in the paint. Go yam on somebody. You 7 foot whatever, long as hell. Poster somebody. And Miles Turner has postered people. But y'all get the point. So that turns a lot of people off. Also, in addition to that, because of all these stats and analytics and things like that, you now have stat culture where a lot of people, you know, they don't have to watch the game. Because they can have an argument just by going on Google and saying, oh, yeah, this guy had 23. 9 and 8, they think that's a great game. They don't really see his impact on the game. They don't really see, you know, how did he play, you know, against so-and-so. They don't see the matchup. They just see, oh, yeah, this guy had 20 points. He's averaging 18 and 5. Pretty good player. So with so many stats around, you have stat culture where people are comfortable having sports conversations and sports discussions without having watched a game, because you could just pull up any stat sheet and pull up any kind of analytics and say, oh, this guy's effective field goal percentage. And you could tell the people who aren't watching the games because they're just pulling numbers out their ass. Yeah, you're good at searching on Google. So the analytics have made the product difficult to watch for a lot of people because it's just repetitive spraying of three-pointers by people who shouldn't be spraying three-pointers, but the rules call for it, the play style calls for it. But also stat culture, a lot of the modern fans don't need to watch the game to still have a conversation, whereas with us growing up, we had to watch the games, man. You had to watch the game to have a conversation about the game because you talked about not just the stats, but you talked about who was guarding who and who dunked on who. Like, it was just different. But these nowadays, these stat guys could just quote stats. You know, they could go on Google and tell you everything about the game in quotes without having watched the game. So, yeah, analytics, efficiency, all that talk. Man, you can't watch a basketball. Listen, I like Grant Hill. I love Grant Hill. But when Grant Hill is calling a game, this brother goes crazy. He spams the word efficiency. He really does. Really efficient. His efficiency is, I'm like, Grant, there's other words in the English vocabulary that you can use to describe a basketball game, bro. Like, great guy, though. Love Grant here. But that's what basketball analysis is boiled down to, is efficiency. How efficient are you? Basketball analysis has boiled down to how efficient are you? And you can get that off of Google. So if your effective field goal percentage is so-and-so, you're a great basketball player. Nah, bro, there's so much stuff that goes into the game that you have to watch the game to see. But the modern style is pretty much, you know, you shoot a bunch of tray balls and they're wide open, you're a great player. The ability to create, the ability to make tough shots, and guys like Kobe get knocked down, guys like Allen Iverson get knocked down because they're not efficient. Are you kidding me? Melo was, are you kidding me? You're going to knock Melo down because his game wasn't suitable for analytics? Analytics didn't agree with his game? Get out of here. So, yeah, we're gonna blame analytics. In the same vein, going to number two, because of analytics, because of the play style, because of the change in rules, thank you, Adam Silver, there's very little physicality. And physicality and confrontation is what draws eyeballs. That's why the NFL, as much as they're changing the rules and making it safer, and the NFL will never go to flag football, y'all. Because the American audience likes the spectacle of trash talking and physicality and dudes in each other's grills. You can't do that in the modern NBA. The defense has no chance in the modern NBA to bump somebody, to get up in their shirt. Defenses have no chance. So the rules make it impossible for you to get too physical. You get a tech if you stare somebody down, you get a tech. I'm watching the game and the Nuggets, and Russell Westbrook gets a tech for looking at a guy an extra second too long. What the hell is going on? And my guy Giannis gets a tech just for mean mugging. What is going on? So in an effort to take out the physicality and, you know, so I guess to draw a different audience, you know, from the Malice at the Palace years. They don't want nobody fighting, which I get. But as a result, the NBA has become soft. People don't want to hear it, but it's different. Where is the physicality, man? Like, if you give a guy a two-way go, of course he's going to get to the rim. But if you were allowed to play defense, maybe you could force him left and keep him left to his weak hand. And maybe the defense will have a chance, and maybe as a result, you don't get to the same action every time where it's pick and roll and you're spamming corner threes because the defense has a chance to force you to where they want to go. But these guys are ultra talented, they're ultra physical, but they're being asked to play a remedial game. They're being told to play a remedial game. That's why it looks different when you go to FIBA basketball in the Olympics than it does in the NBA. Because these guys in the NBA just get to do the same thing because the rule changes have made it so that the defense is incapable of really playing defense. So it's one side of the ball. So there's no physicality. The greatest athletes supposedly in the world right now, the greatest athletes the NBA has ever seen in totality, these guys can't be as athletic as they're supposed to be because the rules dictate that it's better to just shoot three balls. When really we want to see Jaylen Brown going to the cup, man, trying to posterize people every other play. And Jason Tatum has a great mid-range, but he doesn't use it as much. He's shooting step-back threes all the time because efficiency. So it's better to go to the hole and instead of trying to dunk on somebody to kick it out, spray, you know, three balls. Al Horford style, standing corner three at the break. I'm picking on Al, man. I'm sorry. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. But the NFL, right, while the NFL kind of struggles with the same thing with, you know, fans, you know, doing illegal streams and all that, but the NFL continues to pack in stadiums and the NFL continues to have people watching the games because it's a spectacle, man. It remains a spectacle. Back in our day, old heads, athletes were doing things that were crazy. Michael Jordan seemed to be walking on air. And Shaq was like, damn, there's a human that big, that quick, that fast with that footwork? Damn. And Charles Barkley was undersized, but he played like a 7-footer yamming on folks. So there seemed to be, you know, a combative physicality that we were like, damn, as viewers, we were like, we can't do that. And they were allowed to talk trash. Kevin Garnett was allowed to get in people's face a little bit. And they were allowed to chirp a little bit. If you remember growing up as a fan, if you've played basketball, you know, for any period, significant period of time in your life, whether it's high school, even if you never played in college, high school, just at the park, rec league, whatever it is, man. Remember some of your best games were, so some of your favorite games were when it got a little bit chippy. Think about it. Growing up at the park, wherever it was, some of your favorite memories of playing basketball is when dudes were chirping a little bit. Even if it was with your best friends. I'm not talking about fighting. I'm talking about with your best friends. You guys are going back and forth. You yapping a little bit. Like, that was basketball, man. We remember those. We remember hitting the bucket and getting a bucket on somebody's face, hitting the game winner on somebody's face who was talking a lot. Till this day, some of my favorite games at LA Fitness is when somebody's yapping a little bit and you hit a bucket in their grill. But the NBA doesn't allow that. That's what we were used to growing up. We weren't used to dudes just being able to walk into three-pointers and walk into layups. Your favorite memories of watching basketball and your favorite memories of hooping at the park, wherever it was, high school, like, probably your favorite memories if you played high school basketball was probably playing against your rival. Fans going crazy. Dude's getting a little bit chippy. The NBA doesn't allow that anymore, man. The NBA totally took that out. The physicality is gone. The trash talking is gone. Dudes like look at each other for an extra second too long. It's a tech. Whereas the NFL, while they're taking out, you know, headshots and all this stuff, it's still physical. It's still hard hits. It's still a lot of yapping going on. The American, I don't know about elsewhere in the world, but the American audience thrives off of that. That's what drives viewership, is the conflict. It's not just shooting. It's not just great basketball. It's not just high IQ basketball and nice passes. The American audience feeds off of that physicality, man. Believe it or not, people want to watch that combat sport, MMA. Mano y mano. Yeah, let the dudes, you know, get their shoulders into each other, like elbows into each other's chest once in a while. It's okay. As long as it ain't dirty, it's okay. Adam Silver, let him play. So there's no conflict. So the focus on analytics, number one, has led to no conflict, number two. And all that steps to number three, which is the NBA was so invested in trying to grow in Europe and trying to grow the popularity of the sport overseas that they neglected the American audience. They did. The one who pays for the tickets to go to the game, the one who's watching, who has the financial means for the most part to pay for League Pass. You neglected the American audience, NBA. In trying to grow the popularity of the game overseas and in Europe, you know, which they've done a great job at, they neglected the American audience. And the American audience, going back to point two, grew up on physicality. So to make sure that the Europeans succeeded, to give them a better chance of succeeding, they made the game less physical from what it was. And I've touched on this on a couple of episodes before. They made the game less physical than what it was to allow the Europeans to have a better chance at succeeding. As a result, now the Europeans are the best players in the league because our guys are now growing up, you know, in an environment where they don't get to be as physical growing up, right? They're preparing to play in the NBA, whereas the Europeans, they're still playing physical basketball in Europe. So it's switched. It's inverted. But the best players now are Europeans, and the NBA audience, or the basketball audience in America, while the avid fans, you know, those who love hoop, we're going to watch anyway. I'm going to watch no matter who's, I'm going to watch high school basketball. I just love competition. I love basketball. True hoop fans and hoop heads are going to watch no matter who's the best player, no matter who's playing. We're going to watch for the most part. But if you're going to bring in the casual is probably going to struggle to watch the Joker and Luka and Giannis and these guys. The casual American audience person who wants to stand around and act like he knows something at the water cooler on the job, that person needs some kind of thrill to bring them in. And they also need, most likely, they want to watch Americans. Unfortunately, it is what it is. I don't know why, but Americans want to watch Americans play. They want to watch Americans be the best at that sport. I think that's one of the reasons why hockey never really took off, besides hockey being, you know, a bit of a regional sport. But hockey hasn't really grown in popularity because most of the audience, most of the best players aren't American. Baseball popularity keeps shrinking, besides the game being slow. There's excuses for that and all that. But baseball was wildly popular when Americans were the best players. The American audience is kind of finicky in that sense. I'm sorry to say, it's true. Y'all not going to agree with this, but it's true. The American audience want the best players to be American. They do. That's just the way it is. So as much as I love watching the Joker and Giannis play, Luka's offensive arsenal goes crazy. Hoop heads don't mind watching these guys. We appreciate these guys for what they do. They're great. They're once-in-a-lifetime talents. The casual American audience who just wants to tune in, the person who's where you're going to draw so many of these guys, they're just going to be casuals, but they're going to watch the game. When Michael Jordan plays and Larry Bird plays, a lot of them want an American league. And right now there are very few American leagues, like best player doing crazy stuff. Like Steph Curry was that, LeBron James was that. Think about all the sports, right? The most popular sports in America. Football, basketball was. Americans were the best players. So it's hard to bring in casuals in America who are going to fill in the gaps, right? Who are going to watch night, you know, every other night and keep the numbers coming in, even if they're not watching every day. They want to see an American be the best player, man. That's just the truth. All right? That's the truth. So we made an investment in Europe to grow the game in Europe, but we didn't make that similar investment. We neglected the American audience. We took Adam Silver took the American audience for granted. They did. They're not going to admit it, but they took the American audience for granted. But I'm going to go a level deeper. This is where it might get a bit uncomfortable. So if you look at the stats by race and you look at, you know, avid fans of the NBA, 40% of African Americans will say they're avid fans of the NBA. 16%, and I'm quoting here the website Statista, 40% of Black folks say they're avid fans of the NBA. Only 16% of white people say they're avid fans of the NBA. Why do you think that is? Why do you think only 16% of the people, of white people, would consider themselves avid fans of the NBA? I think it's because of lack of white superstars. I think the lack of white superstars has turned off a lot of white folks to the NBA. I'm willing to bet, I don't have the stats on here, I'm willing to bet that way, way more white people would consider themselves avid fans of the NBA when Larry Bird was top dog. And there were more white superstars. But the decrease in white players probably has driven a lot of white people from being avid fans of the NBA. Whereas with so many Black players, Black folks, we grew up playing on the playground, and there's a lot of Black players in the NBA. A lot of Black folks watch the NBA, and they're avid fans. So, if Cooper Flagg comes into the NBA and he tears stuff up. He goes crazy. I can almost guarantee that there's going to be a correlation between Cooper Flagg going crazy and NBA numbers going up. And if y'all thought Caitlin Clark conversation was toxic with the WNBA, if Cooper Flagg comes in and he's what they say he is, and this guy is top dog or amongst the top dogs, watch out for the NBA conversation. An NBA conversation online is already toxic. It's already terrible. But it's going to get bad if Cooper Flagg comes in and he's going crazy and you're bringing in this whole audience that's been turned off from the NBA the last several years. It's going to get wild, all right? Don't say I didn't warn you. You're going to see all kinds of wild headlines. Cooper Flagg saves the NBA. I'm preparing you right now. And I want Cooper Flagg to do well. But I'm telling you right now, get ready. If Cooper Flagg comes in and he's going bananas, the way that we're talking about him, you know, doing Olympics training or whatever it's called, pre-Olympics workouts with the dudes, the Olympic select team, that's what they're called. With the Olympic select team, if Cooper Flagg comes in and he's going bananas, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have a whole slew of white people, who haven't been paying attention for whatever reason. It's not that they're racist, but, you know, people like to see themselves in what they're watching. That's just natural, right? That's why we say, you know, it's good to have diversity, right? But it is what it is. So not everybody's going to admit that. But the numbers don't lie. 16% of white people consider themselves avid fans. 40% of black folks consider themselves avid fans. That's not a coincidence. It's because there's a ton of black people, you know, on TV, playing basketball. Unless the numbers of white players, you know, dwindled over the years, especially the great white players, just aren't there. We're still looking for the next great white player. And maybe the NBA thought they could replace the white American player with the Europeans, with the Jokers and the Lucas and these guys, but it hasn't translated, man. The white European players hasn't translated into bringing in more casual white audience. So I know somebody's going to say, nah, man, I don't look at color. I watch basketball. Yeah, if you're a fan of basketball, you're going to watch regardless, no matter who's playing, no matter the color. But the casual fan, the numbers speak for itself. The NBA, a league that was so popular, only 16% of white folks will say they're avid fans of the NBA. And I guarantee it that it's because there's not as many great white players in the NBA no more. Whereas 40% of black folks say they're avid fans. So if Cooper Flagg comes in and tears stuff up, whoa, we're going to have some conversations. You're going to be hearing stuff that people are going to be saying, like, wait for the headlines, man. I can see it now. The flag saves the NBA. The NBA is saved by the flag. Saved by the flag. That's the headline. Saved by the flag. I can see the headline now if Cooper Flagg comes in and he's going crazy. He's going to get wild. Super patriotic. I'm telling you. Wait for it. So, yeah, so not only did the NBA make the investment in Europe, which, you know, with the rules changes and all this stuff, right, to make it easier for European dudes to assimilate. And that's impacted the American audience who wants to see the American lead, right? American exceptionalism. That's unfortunately, that's the mindset. Now, I don't subscribe to that, but a lot of people do. They're not gonna admit it, but subconsciously, a lot of people, you know, want to watch Americans be the best at the sport they're watching. It's like too many Europeans. Again, football is popular because Americans dominate it. A lot of the reason why it's so popular, right? Despite, in addition to the physicality and all that stuff, but a lot of reason why it's popular is because Americans dominate football. And you have the white quarterbacks who have been great and the blacks, receivers, black athletes. Like, it's a mix, right? Basketball has been... Now it's just a bunch of European dudes who are the best, and Americans are taking a back seat. So in addition to the rule changes, in addition to the style changes, that is another layer that nobody's going to talk about, is the European dudes are coming in and dominating, and the American audience is like, I'm good. Wemby's okay, but there is no draw to Wemby. There was a draw to LeBron, right? The backstory of LeBron. These guys grew up, you know, they grew up in my town, so I'm going to, this guy's from my town, I'm going to watch him. He's from Cleveland. He's from Akron. I'm going to watch him. Derrick Rose is from Chicago. I'm going to watch him. This guy went to my college, right? You know, college down the street. I'm going to watch him to see how well he does in the league. You don't have that with Europeans. And honestly, you don't have that in the one-and-done culture either. That's another added layer to it. There's so many layers to this, all right? I'm trying not to go too long today. So many layers to this. So, yeah. So the American investment, the NBA investment in Europe, the American casual audience not really feeling that, plus the lack of great white players. Because, listen, white folks make up the large majority of our population. So if you can get more white folks to watch, then their numbers will go up. But what the numbers say is that less and less white folks are avid fans of the NBA. And I think it's because there's not that many white superstars right now. So I mixed those two together, all right? Just the European investment and the lack of engagement from the American audience, both because of the NBA just turning their backs on American players and also the lack of white players. All right, let's keep going. Ring culture. Another thing that makes it impossible, not makes it impossible, but why people aren't watching is, again, just like stat culture, ring culture. People can have NBA debates without watching the game because the networks are, when they're talking about greatest basketball players all time, greatest NBA, the GOAT NBA player, they just talk about rings. Oh, this guy has 6 rings. Michael Jordan has 6 rings. And I've said this from the very beginning. If you're going to have a basketball conversation about who the GOAT is, and as soon as you bring in rings and stats, you've already disqualified yourself to me because you're not talking basketball. I can make the argument for Michael Jordan without bringing up any stats or any rings. His game speaks for itself. Complete game, mastered basketball, both sides of the ball. Shoot, drive, left hand, right hand, whatever you needed, he had. And he was a winner. He was clutch. Those things are add-ons. So if you can't make the argument about your favorite player without, you know, talking about the game itself, we just want to talk about stats and longevity stats, which LeBron is piling up now, and ring culture. Like, if all you can say about Michael Jordan is that he has 6 rings and LeBron has 4, then, you know, I question your basketball. I don't want to have that conversation, all right? Have it with somebody else. But ring culture makes it also so that the players don't care about the regular season because they're like, well, if you're not going to care about what I do in a regular season, you're not going to care about how great I am. You only care about at the end of the day that I win a championship, then I'm not even going to try my best. I'm not even going to go all out. I'm not going to go all out in the regular season if you don't care about it. And more of the audience got tricked into this conversation about what it's all about the rings. No, it's not. Enjoy the sport. Enjoy the regular season. Some of the best ever don't have rings. Charles Barkley is one of the best ever, period. So is Karl Malone. So, like, Patrick Ewing, all these guys. Great players. KG was one of the best before he went to Boston and won a ring. We realized what had happened in Minnesota. He never had a squad like that. Like, guys are ballers or basketball players. They're great basketball players with or without the ring. Now, as an audience, we also watch how you perform in the postseason. You don't have to win it, but James Harden, we see you, bro. We see that, you know, when things get tight in the playoffs, you fold. That's different than ring culture, right? Ring culture says no matter how well you played, how great you are in the postseason, if you don't win it, you're not great. You're not the best. No. Sometimes the other team just has more better players. They do. Sometimes that just works out. So LeBron's great, but we watched him in the finals come up small. So it's not that he has less rings than Michael Jordan. It's that in the finals, that first Heat championship, he came up small. That's it. So that's why I wouldn't have him as my GOAT, because I can't remember a series, a game in the playoffs where you're like, damn, Michael Jordan really like shrunk from the moment. I'm not talking about missing shots. I'm talking about shrinking from the moment, turning down shots. LeBron was turning down shots. LeBron was hot potatoing in 2011. So that's what it is. All right? Ring culture, though, makes it so that six is greater than four all the time, so you can't have a conversation. So I don't need to watch the game if I'm just going to argue rings. Just like stats, it sucks. All right? So a lot of people can just sit there and argue online. Well, six is greater than four. I'm not. Why argue? Why watch if I can just argue about rings? And the NBA players don't put in max effort as a result in the regular season because they know they're only judged by the playoffs and whether they win a championship or not. So why go 100% if the fans aren't going to even care at the end of the day how hard I went during the regular season? So what comes first, chicken or the egg? The fans not caring about the regular season or the players knowing that the fans don't care about the regular season? So yeah, ring culture is another one. There's no storylines to keep moving on. Next point. No storylines. Meaning, as an example, everything around the NBA right now, there's really no story where you're like, we're going to follow this guy and this team. When Michael Jordan was dominating with the Bulls, like, they were a circus, man. Like, everywhere they went, they got the best out of every team. Even the Warriors in their dynasty recently. Like, they got the best out of every team. The Heatles were a show, man. They were called the Heatles for a reason, no matter where they went. People were trying to, like, get into the arena to watch them. Like, there is no show anymore. The Celtics have no aura, as the kids say now. The Nuggets, nobody wants to watch the Nuggets, even though I think they're great basketball when they're on it. But people ain't piling in to watch the Nuggets like that. So the NBA doesn't really have a storyline that people come around. Let's watch, you know, the kid from Akron dominate. Let's watch Michael Jordan posterize people and walk on air. Let's watch Steph Curry and the Warriors go crazy on everybody. There is no true storylines anymore. It could still be entertaining basketball, but the casual fan needs that storyline to be brought in. Again, crazy fans like me, hoop heads like me are going to watch, right? We're going to watch high school basketball regardless. But the casual, they need a storyline, man. And there is no storyline. In addition to that, even the fan at the game, like, the whole NBA experience is just different. Let me put it that way, all right? The whole NBA experience is just different. I was watching something on Twitter the other day. Somebody shared a post about the 1990s Bulls introduction, and you had Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and Luke Longley, the man in the middle, and Ron Harper and Michael Jordan, and the stadium went crazy, United Center. And I remember that, and I got goosebumps just watching that on replay. And I'm like, are fans watching like in anticipation of the intros like that, starting lineups anymore? The NBA, the ambiance, the environment is just not there, man. Like, what made the NBA special was it was theater. Everything about it was theater, and it seems like it's just not there anymore. I'm watching the Celtics earlier in the season, probably like the second, third week of the season. Celtics are playing the Pacers. This is the defending world champions playing the Pacers in Indianapolis. And you could hear a pin drop. I'm like, what the hell? Why is there no excitement? What is the audience doing? What are the fans doing? Why is nobody hyped? The Pacers are spanking for three quarters. The Pacers are spanking the Celtics. And you couldn't tell that they were winning. The crowd wasn't into it at all. So it's like, what am I supposed to do as a TV viewer? The TV viewership is kind of feeds off of that fan engagement. So there's nothing you can do as a fan watching on TV to get really engaged into the game because the fools at the arena aren't even really engaged like that. And the Celtics start to make a comeback and the fans are, you can barely hear some of the roar in the fans and Dude, you just lost a hard-fought series just last year to the same team a couple months ago. Why aren't the fans, like, totally engaged, getting as loud as possible in this arena? So that leads me to believe that everything around the game is just changing. There is no storylines. Like I said, there is no aura surrounding the Celtics. It's the starting lineup introduction just ain't the same anymore. It's just all totally different, man. The whole big soup bowl of the NBA, everything about it has changed. That sucks. Because I remember watching, and you can watch this in The Last Dance on Netflix, the Chicago Bulls having just won a championship in Indianapolis, hard-fought series. They're in that arena. They're going bananas. They're calling Michael Jordan all kinds of names. And if you're playing in Madison Square Garden, you're hearing some stuff, man. The fans are on top of the dudes going bananas. Like, now, MSG still has some of that. I ain't gonna lie. MSG, you still hear the crowd. But the United Center of Chicago, I mean, I guess in some of these teams, the teams are so bad, the fans don't really care. But even when the best teams are in the arena, man, like, the fans aren't really as engaged. So the whole thing is just missing something. It's missing some engagement from the players and the fans. So no dominant teams, no dominant players. It's good basketball. And if you're a hoop head, you don't mind it. But if you're a casual, the casuals need that draw. And there is nothing, there is that draw just isn't there. The storyline ain't there. The what seems to be like authentic joy around the game is just not there. I'm telling you, man, go back and watch the introductions. Ray Clay doing the Chicago Bulls introductions. And now, the starting lineup for your Chicago Bulls. There's nobody doing that anymore. Just thinking about it, man, I'm like, damn, where did that go? Do the kids care about starting lineups anymore? The ambiance is not there. The mood is not there. That starting lineup set the mood for the game, and it's just not there. I don't know if it's because the league pass makes everything so accessible. It's just not there. All right, let's keep going. So no real storylines. The ambiance around the game, the theatrics around the game isn't there. All right? Let's keep going. That leads to another point. Modern fans just don't love the game. Modern NBA fans don't love the game as we used to. So they may like basketball, but they don't love basketball. Modern fans, this generation, they like basketball, but they don't love basketball enough to watch it. These kids rather watch their favorite streamer for 6 hours than to watch a 2.5-hour basketball game. They do. And all of it is combined, right? The game has changed. It's not as the theatrics around it. It's not as physical. There's no trash talking. All that is combined. But part of it is that the NBA fan has changed. There's too many things to draw their attention away. Podcasts, YouTube, video games, streamers, whatever it is, right? They'd rather do anything else than watch a 2.5-hour game because they can just catch the highlights on YouTube when it's over and think they're knowledgeable. They can watch the highlights. They can look at the stats and say, okay, this guy had a great game. The highlights tell me he had a great game. The stats tell me he had a great game. So he had a great game. So there's no reason to watch 2.5 hours of basketball. So the NBA dropped the old heads, the guys who want to watch the physical basketball, the guys who want to watch the trash talking. They dropped us off to try to bring in, you know, the European audience, to try to bring in the younger audience with more scoring. And the younger audience is like, nah, we're good. We're going to watch our favorite streamer for 6 hours. We ain't watching 2.5 hours of basketball. In addition, the younger audience prefer to watch the tabloids. They prefer the stories all around the game. If you're on social media, there is more conversation around the game about who is dating who is sleeping with who is cheating on who, whose girl got the BBL and there is more conversation around that stuff than the game itself. There really is. So the NBA by far has the most of any professional sports league. The NBA by far has the most follows on social media and the most engagement. But that's because people are talking about who's dating who, who's having sex with who, whose girl looks the best, whose girl's got the biggest butt. Like, trade rumors, people making up trade. Everything around the game gets a lot of noise, a lot of engagement, a lot of conversation online. But people really ain't watching the game. So the on-court product of the NBA now takes a back seat to what happens off the court. These kids know everything about every player's dating life, bro. And yeah, it's because these players put everything on social media and they're more accessible, which is different than what we had, right? We love Michael Jordan. We didn't know Michael Jordan was doing this thing off the court. At least most of us didn't, if you didn't live in Chicago, I guess. We didn't follow Michael Jordan's off the court life to know what he was doing off the court. But these kids know everything about everything from these players, man. Who's dating who? Which girl is getting passed around to everybody? They know all that stuff, man. Who's gotten work done on their face and their breasts and the BBLs? Like, they know all of that stuff. They know all the storylines surrounding NBA players. So whenever, you know, there's a story about Zion and the girl he's smashing at the time, that stuff gets a lot of eyeballs, a lot of attention. But to go to my next point, there is not much talk about Zion on the court. This is my next point, which is current players suck. Current star players of the NBA just suck. They're just not good. They're not good leaders, man. They're not good faces of the NBA. Because the best players don't play enough. So Zion is a terrible representative for the NBA because he can't stay on the court and he doesn't look like he's doing what it takes to stay on the court. And I know Jason Tatum is great, great representative for the league. I'm talking, some, there are some guys who are great representatives, but a lot of guys, for whatever reason, injury or else, Ja Morant, can't stay on the court, so they're terrible representatives. So the current star players suck. Joel Embiid, who's supposed to be one of the faces of the league, sucks as a face of the league. He's terrible. And the recent storyline about teammates calling him out about showing up late to practice and things like that, to meetings and to games, I could have told you that. I can tell just by watching that Joel Embiid is a terrible face of the league. He's a terrible leader. Because when the time comes for him to do right in the playoffs, he folds every time. When the time comes for him to lead, he folds every time. So I could have told you that without that news coming out. So Joel Embiid sucks as a face of the league type of guy. The modern stars suck. Zion sucks as a face of the league guy. Because dudes know more about Zion's private life than they do about his on-court ability and what he does on the court. And Zion was probably the last cat who came out with so much hype that people were ready to watch him in the league. The fans were ready to be all over Zion in the league. We thought he was going to be God. And then it turns out he can't play. He can't stay on the court to play. And it doesn't look like he wants to be on the court to play. He doesn't look like he wants to be in the best shape possible. This guy's a freaking monster when he plays, but he can't stay healthy. And he doesn't look like he's trying to stay healthy. So the modern stars of the NBA just suck. They're not stars, man. They're not playing 75, 82 games. Michael Jordan had consecutive years of playing 82 games. LeBron early on couldn't miss a game for nothing. The best of the best played, man. And right now, guys are either injured, which guys get hurt, we get it. It's a whole different conversation. Playing too many games growing up, totally different conversation. But a lot of them are getting hurt because they're not in the best shape possible. They're not getting themselves in the greatest shape possible. Paul George can't stay on the court. Kawhi Leonard pretty much might as well retire now. Can't stay on the court. So you're asking the NBA fan to come watch the game, but they really can't because the stars ain't playing. The stars is just different. So modern stars just suck. The modern face of the league just suck. Thank God Anthony Edwards looks like he's changing that. He's going different. He's going to be different. He's going to play. He's going to play both sides of the ball. He's going to play hard. He's going to talk a little bit of trash. Like I said, Ant-Man is ready to be the face of the league. And hopefully more of these stars follow. But yeah, Zion, I'm sorry to pick on Zion, but this guy was supposed to be the next it. That first game, we thought, oh my God, Zion's going to take over the world. But if truth be told, Zion's falling off the map. Nobody really cares about Zion anymore. Because he doesn't look like he wants to be the best. He doesn't look like he wants to go all out. Ja Morant gets in trouble doing crazy stuff with guns, and these guys don't look like they really care about being true faces of the league. And as a result, the fan has turned away. Joel Embiid, one of the best basketball players ever, skill for skill. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Which all, to me, leads to this point. So if you know anything about, you know, business, and if you've been in business for yourself, or, you know, you've worked, you probably heard the term or the phrase, a product life cycle. And a product life cycle is essentially saying every product has a beginning and an end. And the chart pretty much, you know, starts off small, goes up, pretty bell curve-ish, really, almost. But a product life cycle says that every product has a beginning, you know, when nobody has heard about it, it's invented, new creation, and people start to hear about it, and it starts to take off, and it becomes a mature product, and then eventually, you know, it starts to decline. Popularity starts to decline for various reasons. And the NBA sports professional league is no different. And it's not that the NBA is in a steep decline where it's like, oh my God, next year nobody's going to be watching the NBA. But every product goes through it. So just like Coca-Cola, you know, at the beginning, you know, when it was developed and then it was introduced and then it was great and it was peak Coca-Cola in the 80s and 90s, people drinking Coke and people didn't care about their health or they were drinking 20 Cokes a day. And now that people care more about their health, you know, sales, you know, have kind of plateaued. Right? And maybe they're on Coca-Cola's on the downside, really, of it all as a product. So the NBA is basically on the downside as a product. And part of all, it all goes together. The change of rules, the lack of American players, the lack of, you know, all of these things, the audience not being as engaged, all of it goes hand in hand to make it into where maybe the NBA has reached the point in a product life cycle where things start to go downhill. Maybe the NBA that started off where James Naismith started basketball and then there was the NBA league started with, I don't know who was the first team, but George Mikan came in. Then you had Bill Russell and Wilt. You had Kareem coming in. Then you had Bird and Magic. And you had Jordan, you had Kobe, LeBron, and now you know Steph, and you know. Maybe that's what it is. And the NBA can try to extend, you know, that decline, right? Keep that decline from truly falling off a cliff. But that's just a product life cycle. The NBA is never going to, I don't think it's going to end, right? There's always going to be eyeballs. But maybe we're just part of the product life cycle where it's not, growth is not, you know, sustained anymore. Sustained growth is impossible. The environment is different. Kids have too many distractions, too many things they can watch. Players aren't as engaged. You don't want to be the leaders that players of the past were. For whatever it is, right, things have changed. So NBA first came out, great. You know, George Mikan and these guys and, you know, Bill Russell and these guys, you know, and they did great for the league. And Wilt Chamberlain, you know, did great for the league. And you had crazy growth under Bird and Magic. And then Mike came in and took it to the next level, right? Crazy growth with Michael Jordan. And then it got to become a mature product, you know, late 90s, early 2Ks. It was a mature product. You know, Bron was in there and Melo and these guys and KG, you know, they mature product. And maybe we just gotten to the point where now the NBA is beyond the mature product phase. And as a product, as a TV product, due to the environment, so many factors, the audience having different options, rule changes, whatever it is, maybe the product is just going, you know, on a decline now. It's natural. It happens to every single product. Some products are able to extend that life, but the sales still aren't what they used to be. Coca-Cola is not as popular as it used to be as people start to look at the ingredients like, I don't want to put that in my body. So people are going towards healthier drink options, all types of teas and, you know, whatever. It's possible that because there's so many other things in the environment and, you know, kids just, you know, aren't playing basketball growing up, so maybe they don't care to watch as much as we used to. There's different options. There's, like I said, their favorite streamers and the rule changes and the lack of contact, all that, right? The timing. Life is about timing. All that makes it now the right time where we're like, NBA popularity is declining. Natural part of the life cycle. Listen, man, I went to a Mariah Carey concert recently. Mariah Carey is fantastic. Mariah Carey Christmas. It's amazing. Mariah Carey is one of the top three singers of all time. I don't care what nobody says. I'm talking about the history of the world. Amazing. But as great as she is, as great as Mariah is, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, would we know Mariah Carey as Mariah Carey being the star that she is, the voice that she is in this generation? If she came out now, the talent would still be there. But is this generation as interested as listening to Mariah Carey type ballads and Celine Dion type ballads as we were back then and fell in love with her voice? Now it's auto-tunes and, you know, it's a different audience now. It's different. So if Mariah Carey comes out now, she probably has to do different stuff than what she did back then, which is just sing her heart out. And we loved her for it. Life is about timing. So Mariah Carey came out at the right time. Or are the Backstreet Boys, if they come out now? That's timing. So maybe the timing just ain't right. Like the timing in the 90s, late 90s was perfect for NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys. I don't know if the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC come out now, the audience may not care about them. They're still great singers, but the records that they sold, I don't know if they're doing that today. Timing. So everything about the NBA back then, the timing was right. The environment was right. Michael Jordan came in at the right time. Larry Bird and Magic came in at the right time. And now, I don't know if the timing is right for the NBA. All the factors put in together, maybe now is just a time where the NBA just has to be okay with where they are. Bring back physicality, sure. Take care of the American players, make sure our development process is right, which I've talked about in previous episodes. Check it out. Make sure we're developing dudes who are ready to play in the NBA. Hype up NBA players, American NBA players, like we do the Europeans, like we do Wimby. Yeah, that will help. But because of everything in the environment, the audience is where it is, the kids aren't playing basketball, they're not loving the game like they used to be, like they used to. Maybe it's just part of the product life cycle. Maybe it is. Sorry to say, NBA, Adam Silver, owners, you're still going to get your money because there's not much else that marketers want to pay money for, companies want to pay money for. So yeah, you're still going to get huge TV deals. But maybe, just maybe, the NBA has peaked. And as a result, viewership is going to continue to be what viewership is. And ain't nothing you can do about it.
except for Cooper Flagg.
I'm telling y'all, man, Cooper Flagg comes in and he goes crazy. Watch out. Watch out for the conversation around the NBA. If Cooper Flagg comes in and he goes crazy, I'm telling you right now, get ready for it. You thought Caitlin Clark was bad. Watch out. All right, y'all, I'm gonna leave it there. Had a good time with this episode. But nah, for real, there's things you can do, Adam Silver. Listen to your boy. Check out my previous episodes. But maybe it just is what it is. And we have to live with it. Development, introduction, growth, maturity, decline. A natural part of every single product. All good things come to an end. All right, y'all, I'm going to leave it there. Appreciate y'all hanging out with me. As always, don't forget to like, subscribe, share. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. And I'm going to catch you guys next time. Mike, Sports and the Real Shit. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sec on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.